I spoke with the Minister for Primary Industry, Willem Westra van Holter, about the changes.
In the past, the system has been difficult. And I guess the history of this is that the Parks and Wildlife used to manage the 1080 program. When they divested themselves of that and transferred across to the pastoralists, the government of the day worked with the NTCA to come up with a system. Now, upon implementation, that system was found to be a bit clunky, a bit too difficult to manage, and it was actually quite onerous on a lot of the pastoralists who wanted to have a 1080 program across their properties. And so what we've done is changed things to make it easier, less red tape, and really just a system that's much more user-friendly, I guess, in many ways.
And part of the changes today will mean people will be able to access baits via their freight company instead of actually picking up the bait from the Department of Primary Industry.
That's right, and that's one of the things that make this system a lot easier to use. Obviously, 1080 is a pretty dangerous poison, so we need to be very careful with it, and that's why it's so heavily regulated. But, you know, being able to put 1080 now on a freight truck with other supplies that have been delivered out to cattle properties is just one aspect of this this new program that will make life a heck of a lot easier for the pastoralists. One of the other things that I think there's been, you know, a great success story in this new program will be the alignment of approvals and the various licences that are required to use the 1080 poison. So the old system, I guess, had a number of different approvals from different agencies and at different government levels, and not all of those approvals lined up. So, you know, you might have a licence that lasts for 1 year, then you might have something else that lasted for three, and nothing sort of lined up. It was pretty difficult. So we've brought all these things into alignment as best we can so that all the approvals last for a period of time. They run out at the same time. The pastoralist just needs to go and renew everything at once. It's a lot easier for them.
I believe in the past the DPI was providing training and that accreditation for people using 1080 baits. Will that continue as part of this new accreditation program?
Yeah, look, the department has still worked very, very closely with the pastoral sector around this and make sure that they're all trained and up to speed and they've got all of their approvals and licences that are necessary to use it. We don't want to over-regulate and make it difficult for the pastoralists. This is about actually making it a heck of a lot easier for them to manage wild dogs on their own properties and also in conjunction with neighbouring properties. You know, the new system will allow them to, rather than have a cluster of properties able to use and access baits, individual station owners will now be able to access baits and work together with just one or two of their neighbours if they wish to do so. And of course, that just makes life a little bit easier for them.
What assurances are in place? I suppose in the past it was so regimented because of some concern that the baits might pose risk to wildlife and perhaps domestic pets. Can we still be assured that this new system will look after and put proper regulatory platforms in place to look after those sort of animals?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, 1080 is a dangerous poison, as everybody knows. And won't change, I guess, is the part around making sure that the baits are well monitored, that people know where they are, and that reduces the risk of harming other animals that are not the targets for the baits.
Thanks for your time on the Country Hour today, Minister, and making yourself available in 2015 on the program. It's much appreciated to be able to speak to the Minister for Primary Industry.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Carl. Thanks.
Minister for Primary Industry, Willem Westra van Holter. The NT Cattlemen's Association President, Tom Stockwell, is with us now on the Country Hour. Tom, thanks for your time. What do you make of these changes to wild dog baiting regulations?
Oh, Carl, I think this is a terrific outcome. Indeed, the government people need to be congratulated at the minister and particularly Richard Galton, who headed up the review committee for getting out and listening to the practical problems people were having and actually coming up with recommendations to solve those problems.
This is a real ongoing issue for pastoralists. Can you tell us about what it means to have those dogs on your property eating your calves?
Well, it's first of all, you know, it's an animal welfare issue. It's, you know, that one of the worst things that you do as a cattleman is have to see calves ripped about by wild dogs and the like, and some of the figures that have been done on top of that, you know, it's not an insignificant problem. You know, it's been estimated up to $60 million a year is lost due to predation by wild dogs on calves.
And obviously, baiting is a key platform to try and control them. How successful has it been in the past, these wild dog management plans that were done as a group by group stations?
The most recent group plan that we've been working to worked well in some regions, but certainly wasn't appropriate to all the different districts in the Northern Territory. You know, it's the issue we always have. If you're trying to make one rule to suit everybody across the Territory, there will be areas that works for and areas that it doesn't. So some areas that worked well, and others, it just made life even more difficult than it was before for people to actually access baiting programs and control dogs. So
we just heard the minister there say it's going to be easier for pastoralists to get access to these baits, to distribute them and even have them delivered to the station. What sort of benefit will that provide producers in the Territory?
Well, what it's really doing, I think, is putting the responsibility back where it should be, and that's on the manager of the property to organise it and be responsible for it. Certainly, you know, one of the biggest bugbears and my personal experience here is just the time and effort that went into getting the various permits and licences and training all to line up so that you could go and throw a few dog baits out, you know, which isn't basically rocket science. You know, we need to be conversant in the safety issues of it, but, oh, geez, it was, you spent more time doing the organising than you did the actual baiting, and in many instances, by the time you had them all concurrent, you'd missed your opportunity. So this business of being able to do it once every 5 years is, I think, is a big relief to people.
What are the dogs like on the Sturt Plateau?
Over the last few years, the dogs have been, well, they've been up in number. They just keep coming in, and they've certainly been built up with the last couple of years. We've been able to get back onto baiting a little bit, so it's been a bit better, but. You know, we've had some paddocks this year. You know, there's been a reasonable percentage of big, healthy weaners that have come in showing dog damage. So it's still there, you know. So, the numbers are there. And I know there are those around that suggest that, that if you've got wallabies and things like that, they'll be going for them before they go for calves. But, you know, we've got plagues of wallabies and plagues of dingoes at us all the time. So I don't think that sort of theory holds for where we are, at least.
And is baiting really the only option for Territory cattle producers, or what other options are there? I suppose shooting is another.
In the Northern Territory, you will never get a handle on dogs by shooting or trapping. There's just too much uncontrolled country. There's just too much area to cover. The only way you can do it is by trying to do it in a blanket job with baiting. But even if you had someone going around full-time, I don't think you'd make a practical dent on numbers through shooting or trapping.
Occasionally we hear stories about dogs, domestic dogs or camp dogs, accidentally being baited. Is there any reason for us to be concerned about more of that with this change in regulation by the government?
No, I don't think there's a relationship there at all, because nothing changes in terms of the responsibilities of the manager in terms of the safety and where they lay the baits and how they handle the baits and store them, and all those safety things are still there. You've got to understand, I mean, most of us these days have working dogs and companion dogs on the station, and, I mean, it's one of those decisions you have to make, you know. Once you put the baits out, you know, you can't take your dogs out. And so it's something, you know, that the station people are very aware of. As I say, it'll be the responsibility of the station manager to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, let's hope these new changes certainly assist those producers struggling with dogs at the moment. Tom, it's been a very wet end of the year. I understand Sunday Creek's had over 500 mils. How's that for a wet December?
Well, that's the wettest December we've recorded here at Sunday Creek in our history, which goes back to the 70s only, but... it's by far and away the wettest December, and it's, I think, the second wettest month we've ever recorded in that time. So, we had rain start on the 18th and went right through to the 30th, so it was quite damp here for a while.
And how's that compare to even last year's wet season?
Oh, well, we got 690 for the whole wet season, so we're only 6 or 8 inches behind our season total for last year.
Well, if the wet season was to wrap up tomorrow, you wouldn't be too concerned by the sounds of things. That rain has been falling around Daly Waters and the Sturt Plateau, and that's where the highway has been awash, really, in that area. Have you had a chance to have a look at the highway yourself?
Carlo, I'd be really concerned if the wet season finished now. That'd take all the fun out of it. I've seen some pictures of the highway just north of Darley Waters where it goes across, you know, between Darley Waters and Larimar, the highway virtually travels alongside the mighty Darley Waters Creek and Burdham Creek, and it's obviously flowing a banker there as well. So, it's a beautiful wet soaking start, you know, because it was a little bit light on. It wasn't the best year, so it's been a marvellous start everywhere for getting a bit of moisture back in the soil profile. That's for sure.
I've remembered the Barkly Highway being washed away a few years ago, and the Victoria Highway often closes, but the Stuart Highway. Do you often see that part of the highway closed?
Well, it does. There's, my kids were joking this morning. There's a sign just where it's gone over saying that it's flood prone for the next 14 kilometres. You know, and most of the time you drive along there, it's no different to anywhere else. But there are, as I say, there's some big floodways there, and I've driven to Darwin in a wet season at 3 o'clock in the morning and travelled through water on that highway all the way from just south of Maryfield through to Larimar nearly. You know, once it does get wet. Because it is tracking that creek front, it can go over there quite easily.
Indeed. Well, let's hope the wet season isn't over for you just yet, Tom, and you get some more rain on the way. Happy New Year, and thanks very much for having a chat with the Country Hour.
Yeah, same to you, and thanks to the Country Hour people and everybody out there. Have a good New Year. Cheers.
Tom Stockwell, he's the president of the NT Cattlemen's Association.